Jonesy, this podcast had it all. Three racing states, and we went international.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. I think a podcast of this caliber should transcend jurisdictions. Mm. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
And just how much of a phenomenal occasion it is. And
the turnover. My God.
The turnover is phenomenal, but it also, I think it shone a little light on the turnover that we have in our greatest race here in Australia. But more on that during the podcast.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And if you're going to turn some over this weekend, where would you do something like that?
I think you're going to turn some over with Team Orange, and that's the good people at Ned's. Look, the Winter Carnival's heating up. We're on the back end of the Adelaide Carnival. Thank God, some would say. So open up your Ned's app and gamble responsibly in there. Check us out on our profiles. You can follow us in on a few bets if you like. But if you don't want to, that's fine too. But I'll tell you what, everything you could possibly do on the Neds app is what you want to do. Get weird and exotic for us, drifters.
Absolutely. And tell you what, some of the drifters are following in what we've posted or what I've posted. Those three-leg multis and two-leg multis for the Queensland Derby and the Cox Plate. And there was another one there, the Stradbroke as well. So a couple of drifters have following our coattails, and, you know, it's good to have a long-term play.
You've pulled it off before.
Yes.
No reason why it can't happen again.
Absolutely. But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Declan, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. I'm great. How are you?
You know, as good as I can be, considering the circumstances. You know, feel like my barber didn't do their best work on the weekend.
Mate, I haven't even had the decency to comment positive or negative on your haircut.
I know, and I'm quite affronted, offended even, but... That's definitely not true. But I don't know. I just don't think he has done his best work.
Mate, I think it's fine. And I think you should be grateful that you can see a barber and ask for something other than just bick my head, because some people are unlucky enough to have a head of hair like you, mate. So actually, you know what? I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to say that you're pretty ungrateful, mate. Well, and how dare you? How dare you blame your barber?
Well, you might
for having hair.
You might say that, but I actually think there's a little bit of receding happening here, but definitely not light back. But it could be,
yeah,
a disappearing front. You know,
I've definitely receded 100%, and I'm definitely thinning out. So it's just a matter of time. And for any of the drifters listening, who know the appearance of my old man Mick Jones. Yeah, he's got a barley head.
He does. But
so maybe I'm going to take after him. But
I think he's a good looking man.
Of course he is, mate.
Yeah, good stock.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not here to talk about receding hairlines and haircuts and appearances. We're here to talk about horse racing. You went to the track again? How was that?
Yeah, it was great, mate. Eagle Farm is great. No issues with viewing in the members area for the finish line and also the screen behind the finish line. It's much better there. So, yeah, I had a great time, mate. It's fantastic. It was busy. You know, there's a buzz in the air. The Winter Carnival's officially started. It's going to get better and better and better over the coming weeks.
You know, I was thinking last week, which we probably forgot to talk about, but – I think, sorry to hang shit on South Australian racing again, but we are. Yeah. But I think they've actually adopted the same marketing team from Rugby Union Australia. Because, you know, if you weren't in the, say, the racing game, like we talk about Group 1 racing here, so we know that South Australian Group 1 racing's up. Mate, Eagle Farm had a bigger turnout and a bigger launch and for their Winter Carnival. So the Brisbane BRC put on a better event than what they did down there.
100% they did, mate. Is this a point of discussion now? We stayed in the obvious for the rest of this podcast. Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. It's
I saw Kieran McAvoy talking about our favourite boy, Marzu.
Yep. Chris Waller was at Eagle Farm on the weekend. He certainly wasn't at Morfordville.
No, he wasn't.
He actually went to cross the border and they actually say to you, hey, mate, how much money do you have in your bank account? Because you have to be poor to enter this state.
Sorry, mate. We can see by your teeth that you got a bit of cash.
Mate, how old are you? Oh, you know, I'm approaching 50. How do you still have your front teeth? Oh, you know, that's pretty normal back where I'm from. Oh, wow. Nah, yeah, sorry, can't let you in.
No. Some I think we're being harsh. I think we're not being harsh enough because if I look at this coming weekend of racing, I think the South Australian Racing Club have gotten a bit spooked and they've done this months ago, right?
Mm.
So it's like, oh, we have a standalone Group One, but we need a bit of help. So they've rung up Queensland Racing,
mm-hmm.
the BRC, going like, can you help us out? Sure, we'll put on the Archer for you. Yep. So we've got a slot holder racing in Rockhampton. Oh, you know what? We'll make sure the Hollandale's on the same day. All right, done. So there's two meetings taken care of.
Mm.
Then they've rang up PVL.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And they've got the coast going at Gosford as well.
Yeah, okay, yep.
So of the four feature races, arguably, the Sangster is the one that I'm least interested in.
Yeah, it's an incredibly underwhelming affair. Incredibly underwhelming. I'm unenthused by the Robert Sangster Stakes.
And like it, even during the week, right? The Bull has been fantastic. If you've been able to tune in, Drifters, like,
love the Bull.
Like, I'm not a big fan of jumps racing per se, but every single one of those jumps races this week, so today we're recording on Wednesday, so the Grand National is tomorrow.
Mm.
But every single one has been a nose in it. It's been fantastic.
Fantastic. And they tough it out, the horses.
Yeah, tough. Absolutely. Love to see it. And at times you couldn't even hear poor old Rick McIntosh because the crowd was that bloody loud.
Oh, mate. It would be a stack of fun to go to the Bulls. Definitely on the bucket list. You know what's not in the bucket list? The Robert Sangster Stakes. If Robert Sangster Stakes was a steak, it'd be incredibly undercooked.
Oh, or incredibly overcooked.
Or incredibly overcooked. You've ordered a nice, juicy, thick cut, medium rare, and you can't wait. You got your peppercorn sauce on the side or mushroom sauce if you're Dan Hutchin, and you're like, fucking hell, I can't wait to have this steak. And then
it's a sizzle steak.
Yeah. No, a bloody chicken breast comes out. You're like, what's this? This isn't what I ordered. Oh, sorry, mate. We don't serve steaks here in Adelaide. We just serve chicken breast because, you know, it's a bit underwhelming. No seasoning, no sauce. Oh, God.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
Boiled greens.
Oh, God.
Imagine that. I'm just picturing the driest meal possible.
They forget your condiments. Sorry, mate.
Condiments.
You can order them and then they go, oh, sorry, we actually, our sous chef is not in today.
We can't do the sauce.
So we can't do the sauce. You still have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you ask for the sauce. They bring out your meal and doesn't have the sauce. You're like, okay, hey, sorry, you forgot my sauce. Can I have some sauce? And they're like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, leave it with us. And they come back out and they've got Tommy sauce in one hand and barbecue sauce in the other. And you're like, oh, this doesn't really work with my chicken breast, which was actually supposed to be a steak. They're like, oh, actually, we do have some sweet chili sauce in the back. Let us just grab that. You're sitting there stumped. I am perplexed and stumped by this meal that's been presented to me.
Which, you know, you had no choice. You had no say in the matter.
You assumed with a chicken breast, you know, you'd have some decent sauce to choose from, but they have absolutely nothing.
No. So that's the state of South Australian racing, and we offer no apologies for it because they've gotten themselves into this mess.
They have. It's self-inflicted. Mate, what's the prize money for this race? First place gets $275,000.
Oh, man. We were joking last week about the SA Derby could very well be the On the Drift Derby because we're multimillionaires now. We could fund that. Mate, do we just buy Adelaide? Do we just buy South Australian Racing?
It's not out of the question. It's not. Their number one assets down there are the Crows and Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
To be honest, they can keep them.
Yeah, the Showdown. That's all they got.
Yeah, that's all they got. And the Adelaide Oval's good, but the Redbacks aren't.
The Redbacks are not good.
Their cricket team is no good.
A dreadful team. Dreadful team. So we'd have the On the Drift Oaks.
Yep.
The On the Drift Derby.
Yep.
The On the Drift Stakes.
Mm.
And the good On the Drift Wood. which is something that they say about the both of us.
Hey.
Jehu. So – look, I've perked myself up a little bit. I'm looking forward to the first edition of the On the Drift Stakes.
We just got to take it to our loyal investors to see if this is something that we have to, you know, if they're interested in, because, you know, it's piqued our interest. But I think when we, in the fullness of time, when we sit down and actually do the ones and zeros and checks and balances, I think you'll find that there's actually no value in us investing in that stage.
I think it's more of a concern is presenting this to our sponsors and our sponsors just looking at us and going, are you two fucking kidding with SA Racing? We don't want to be associated with that.
My God, what are you doing?
Boys, this is a waste of money. Do you know what? Take every single episode of your podcast that you've stored on a USB or hard drive, whatever, go to the toilet and flush it because that's what it's worth if you go on SA Racing.
So that's the risk we're running. That's the risk we are running.
Let's not tag anyone who has anything to do with SA Racing in any of these posts.
I don't know. I'd like to see their response.
Well, to be honest, if they're trying to come and have a go at us face to face, how long does it take for a horse to get to Queensland from South Australia? Because they don't have airplanes or cars or anything over there, do they?
I don't think
so. Horse and cart?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, if we've got a few months worth of travel before they actually greet us.
Isn't the Garn through there, the train? I think they still have rail travel.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's their most...
So we just need to sabotage that and we're right.
But there was a group one, believe it or not, the On the Drift Oaks last week. So
the On the Drift Oaks, yeah.
Glint of Hope. Great story, actually.
It is a good story.
Because Natalie Young.
Yep.
So Natalie Young of that training partnership actually has breast cancer.
She does,
did not actually know before the race. So it's for her and her connections, very stoked.
Unbelievable.
That she won. Buckets more in the winner's circle yet again.
Yep.
Which was fantastic. My Whisper just might have been end of prep, maybe.
Potentially.
It was her fifth or sixth run.
Yeah, you look at you look back through the form and hindsight's a beautiful bloody thing. Glint of Hope only just missed My Whisper a couple runs back. It was carrying 61 kegs and My Whisper was carrying like 56. So they've met at the weights a lot better. Glint of Hope had no luck a run before. So you look back at that form and obviously hindsight's a beautiful thing. But yeah, I think end of prep's probably the answer there. I think Jamie Carr gave it every chance. Just couldn't charge over the top of him late. Only lost by half a length?
Oh, yeah. It just, you know, couldn't wind him down. How long is the Morphettville straight? 300, 400 metres?
Yeah, too long.
But yeah. So we look forward to the Sangster Stakes this weekend. So if anyone is actually wondering what the format of this race, the last two winners are actually in the field, which is unbelievable. But group one, two-year-olds and up, we actually did see a way game run in this a couple of years ago with like 47 kilos.
That's right, yeah.
Fillies and mares, weigh for age, 1,200 metres. Last two winners are Instant Celebrity and Bella Vella.
Bella Vella was at a big price from memory.
About $40.
Yep.
And that was when she got turned in at sale for like 20 grand as a broodmare, or she actually got sold as a broodmare for 20 grand. And she's no good, infertile, but basically. Then they took her back to the track and she's won a group one, possibly even group two.
Closing in on $1 million. How's that?
Mate, you'd love it if you owned her. But It's an interesting field. September run could possibly have turned things around, but 450 with the good people at Ned's, to me, to my eye, seems absolutely toxic odds for mine. What are your opinions?
This is a toxic race. Toxic race.
Where's the speed in this race? I know that's how you like to do your form. You like to look at, you know, form a race shape in your mind's eye.
So I'm seeing this race and I'm seeing Bellafella go forward. I'm seeing Orbanta go forward, Away Game from the inside rail go forward. I think Bella Nipotina will sit nicely. Bella Nipotina is coming from that Group 3 Sapphire Stakes in Randwick on day two of the championships, where she actually ran really well. I'm trying to delete a lot of that form out of my mind on the heavy deck, but she's a versatile mare, Bella Nipotina. But if you think September run's a bit of a non-winner, Bella Nipotina's only won 4 and 27 starts.
But she's been way more consistent last 12 months.
Way more consistent. Her last prep, she was running top three pretty much every start.
Last 12 months, 10 runs, 3 wins, 2 seconds, 3 thirds. Yeah. So she's getting in the money 80% of the time.
Yeah. And she ran second to Jonka in the
Moya. Or the Manicato.
Manicato. Yeah, the Manicato. And, you know, I think her nearly winning that race is probably her at the peak of her powers, Bella Nipotina. I think she's a good group horse, can jag a group one in her career, maybe if things go right and maybe if she comes across the right field. Would you argue then that a weight for age race against her own sex is the right field?
I do. I was looking through this field, right? Mm-hmm. And my go-to is, especially for mares in filly's age, is like, or grade, is who's got the form around the boys. And the horse is September on.
Yeah.
I just can't have it. I can't do it to myself. Craig's on board. He knows the horse well. Barry 5, perfect draw. Still can't do it. Can't do it to myself. Bella Nipotina, and there is a little bit of rain in Adelaide this week as well.
There is, yeah.
So you could be good four, could be around soft six.
Yeah.
I know. Soft six, I reckon, is safe ground. So Bella Nipotina was the horse I kept coming back to. Just a bit of a different form line from these. She's fourth up here. Way more consistent than what she used to be. I think she's the horse to beat. Johnny Allen is in terrific form.
Yeah, look, I did sort of have a look at Bella Nipotina and yeah, look, I will admit if she's in the winner's stall at the end of this race, I wouldn't be overly surprised. If September run wasn't September run, I think she'd be a no-brainer for most punters in this race. But she's September run, so a lot of punters are running away. But, mate, I'm with her because if you look at her last two starts, she's running the Newmarket. Weird race, but she ran third. And she was strong. And that was after not being able to, you know, find the winner's stall for ages. And she still ran a good time. And then in the Billy Reid Stakes, man, she sat off a really hot speed. Morabi charging out front comes to mind when she had the weight of a nation's cash on her back, Morabi. And she got the job done there. She sort of just sat off the speed, probably just at midfield, and then sort of Craig peeled her out the exact perfect time and then charged over the top of him late. I think that's the best form reference for this race. I do think so. So I think a similar thing is going to happen here. I think Craig will get a nice sit from that barrier. There looks to be a stack of early speed in this race to my eye, and I think there'll be a lot of horses jostling for that sort of front three and then probably the next three, and I'm thinking she might sort of slot herself in there, hopefully one off the fence. And as they start to come around the bend, I think there's enough of a straight in Morfordville for her to really build up some speed. Mare's in form. Chris Waller, I think she's the class horse in this race. $4.50 is toxic odds with Neds. Toxic. Don't touch it. But there's nothing else here that really creates interest. For me, if I was to pick another horse, Argentia creates interest, but she's got a funny prep.
She might be a sprinter.
Yeah.
She was the other one I was looking at. But for me, her racing style was toxic.
And then you can say that for a lot of things in this race. You can say that about Xia Yu. You can say that about Brooklyn Hustle. September Run, I think, gets back, but nowhere near as far back. She'll give them a sight coming around the corner.
This prep, she's been sitting midfield.
Yeah.
And she sits back like nearly last in straight races, but you can afford to do that. That's what I like about Bella Nipotina. She can sit on speed now and quicken off it. I think there was three horses I was weighing up. Bella Nipotina is outlined. Argentia is outlined. Back to 1,200 metres, she might be just a sprinter because she didn't get the chockies done, albeit on what did look like on speed-biased races.
Mm.
But she finished second to Barb Raider. Barb Raider's been pretty consistent. Just out to – you can't really have those form references because it's like over 2,000 metres. The other one was Instant Celebrity. I think she was fantastic last start against Bella Vella. Like her, out to the 1,200, more than Bella Vella here. And she did sit a lot closer, albeit in a six-horse field. I think she's much more dynamic when she's ridden far colder. Barry 12, buckets more in the saddle again. And then you have to chuck her into fourth because she'll be – the flashing light is Brooklyn Hustle. Jamie Carr on board, two rides on this mare now, to a win and a second. So she does know how to get her into the finish. So
yeah,
she's the blowout.
Yeah, look, you know my thoughts on backmarkers. I think if they can sit close enough and there's enough speed up front, they'll get every chance. But, you know, September Run will get a better run than them.
Mm.
So she's my on toppy, but I do admit Bella Nipotina is a great punt in this race.
Lovely. All right, let's touch on the other features, I guess you could call them. So let's go to Gosford and touch on the coast because, you know, they've chucked a bit of cash at this. So 500K, 287,000 for first. I think our Playboy gets the job done here. Form franked with Mr. Mozart.
Oh, I agree. And, mate, great shout with Mr. Mozart last week. Tipping him on top, like I know he's pretty short, but it was a really tough run, and he responded when he was getting challenged.
Yeah, there was obviously some deductions, but it was about 3:30 or so.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
Yeah,
when Marcus first went out, but I think there might have been like 20% deductions or something. But our Playboy looks the horse to beat here. Kiku is another one that gives me interest as well, but our Playboy. What about – I want to save the Hollandale to last. So let's go to the Archer.
Mm-hmm.
I think this field's been finalised yet, or as in like the barriers and whatnot. But who do you like just out of this? Because slot holder race, great concept. Who do you like?
I like Apache Chase in this, mate. I think he was really consistent last prep. He's running a Golden Eagle. You know, he's running a lot of group races and, yeah, I think they're aiming him at probably a Stradbroke, I'd imagine, this prep. I mean, he started the Stradbroke, $6 or $7 last year, I think, from memory. It was third line of betting maybe. I can't remember. So based on that, you would imagine that he should be able to get the job done here.
Mm. Yeah. He's I think there's three main chances in the race. Streets of Avalon, just honest as the day is long.
Yeah.
Apache Chase's outline and Gemsong. I'm a big fan of this horse and he does not win out of turn though. Dry Deck will be the big positive here. Mm. And Counter Rupee, who he finished not far off, did win last start in Doomben.
True.
Eagle Farm, sorry.
Yep.
So Gemsong back on top of the ground should be awfully hard to beat. Now the Hollandale. Think Zaki's a good chance in this race?
Man, he's the closest thing to a certainty you'll see on a race card, mate. Nothing beats Zaki in this race.
Ayrton, Colding.
No. No way, mate. No way. You said, and I agree with you, He's our best weight for age horse at the moment after that Queen Elizabeth run.
Yeah.
So the best rate waste. Bleh. The best weight for age horse in the country, especially over this sort of distance, $1.70 against these guys.
Is this an election? Because I'm just seeing boxes being ticked.
Oh, mate. $1.70 with Neds. I'm diving in big time. Give me an Olympic medal. That's how good my dive in is going to be. Oh, look, I admit Eden's. I think Eden's going to be a pretty good horse. I think he's going to be a Group 1 horse, Eden.
Yeah.
And he was tough first up winning that. I mean, it was a handicap. He's carrying 54 kilos. He should be beating those things, even if he is a bit underdone.
Yeah, and
carrying the same weight as Zaki over 1,800 metres? Are you fucking kidding me? No. I can't believe he's $1.70. He should be winks-like odds.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point you make. It's a very good point.
If, and this is a big if, there was a blowout in this race, she's been saved for a dry deck. I don't even know if she's going to get it down the Gold Coast. But number's 13, Hungry Heart.
Absolutely. But, goes in everything.
But don't know if we're going to get a super dry deck down the Gold Coast. Soft seven at the moment.
Yeah. She just piking on board for Bowler, which you don't see often. She just can't get. She's just hating it wet, Hungry Heart. And you hate to see it, but yeah, I tend to agree. Zaki looks the horse to beat.
I can't believe the price on him, mate.
$1.70.
I can't believe that. Yeah. I know it's not black odds. It's red odds. But you put $100 on him, you're making $70
responsibly.
Responsibly,
but it's better than bank interest, isn't it?
Oh, Jesus. Christ almighty.
Okay. I'm assuming he's your best of the day.
He is my best of the day, Zaki. $1.70 with Neds. Race 8, Gold Coast. Be there at B Square. Fight anyone who disagrees. My girl Gypsy's racing as well in the bracelet.
Saw that. What are your thoughts?
Coming back to 1,800 metres. Yeah, I think she wins. I want to see if Honey Creeper bounces back, though. I couldn't believe how good she looked in the yard because I was there. It's day two of the championships. And I was like, oh, I think this thing just wins. Looking at her in the yard, that obviously didn't turn out. It was was it a backup from a heavy 10 into a heavy 9 into a heavy 10? That's a lot for a young horse to take in.
It's not that, though. Like, it was the pattern on the day.
And the pattern too, yeah.
So I'm looking at her figures. She was third last at the 800, and then she was 11th at the 400 out of 15, and then she finished off in sixth, only five lengths off them. Like, they weren't getting within cooey of each other. So I think that's actually a pretty decent run, but I agree. What does that take out of a young horse? And Gypsy's pattern is probably a bit more decent, so probably a sit and watch in my opinion. So Gypsy's another bet for you.
Yep.
Look, I'm just having one bet that I'm going to give out to the punters, and it's tomorrow at the Bull. I want you to go to Warrnambool, race 9, the Warrnambool Cup. Now you have a very, very, very short favourite in Grand Slam who I think is extremely vulnerable for a couple of reasons. He's been a bit of a love and hate horse, this horse, on this podcast. I am not convinced against this company that he loves this distance. I think they've basically aimed him up at about 2,000 metres at Moonee Valley each time. Not sure he likes the heavy 10. Not convinced of that at all. There is a horse here that has been absolutely flying for Mike Moroney, and that's Nerve Not Verve, 440. Got 650 the other day. She's getting crunched in already. I think she's an outstanding bet. Who'd she beat last start? Oh, what's that? The Sydney Cup winner, Knight's Order. Tough horse. I think she gets the job done. I think she's a cracking bet.
Thursday night BBs, Thursday afternoon BBs rather.
So when it rolls around to about, you know, 4 p.m. just before, make sure you're on, Drifters.
And I tell you what, I'll be watching.
Thanks. Oh, who's that down the bottom? Number 10. Constantinople.
Link in bio.
Link in bio. But yeah, he might be back. I doubt it. But yeah, I think that's all we had, mate.
Lovely, mate. The winter carnival is heating up. I cannot wait. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. Thanks for listening, Drifters. Group 1 Racing is in Brisbane next week.
Bloody brilliant.
I believe. I haven't got that wrong, have I? No, Doomben 10,000.
Might be a week off or can't remember.
No. Marzu next week.
Oh, Marzu 10,000. Let's go.
Marzu season. Thanks, Drifters.